This is the Wednesday, June 29th edition of the Daily Wager Podcast. We've got you covered with a variety of action for tonight. So settle in and we'll set you up in about 10 minutes with everything you need to know heading into the betting day.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to the Daily Wager Podcast, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. Tyler Foldrum and Anita Marks here on a Wednesday hump day edition of the DW Podcast. In the dog days of summer, it's going to be mostly baseball, and we will touch on the diamond as well, but we do have a PGA Tour event that will tee off tomorrow of the John Deere Classic. So Anita and I, being the avid golfers we are, will throw some picks and plays your way there as well. But let's start on Wednesday. It's a travel day in baseball, so a few games that will be played in the afternoon. Let's look mostly at the night slate, Anita. Start with Braves and Phillies. We know Braves, one of the hottest teams in baseball right now. Kyle Wright and Ranger Suarez are the starters here for the Braves and Phillies, respectively. Any way you're approaching this one?
Yeah, I think the Braves, it's batting practice for the Braves against Suarez. He's 6-4 with a 4.23 ERA. Doesn't typically last past five innings for the Phillies. Gave up five runs in four innings last time he faced off against the Braves. Gives up a lot of runs. He's very inconsistent. Also, on top of that, as we know, the Phillies have no bueno, as I like to say on Wager, in regard to their bullpen, 4.05 ERA. And Atlanta's just destroyed left-handed pitchers this season. Second best slugging percentage. So I'm going Braves over 4.5 runs. That's how I'm playing this matchup. I think the Braves just go to town.
Yeah, I'm with you. Exact same way. I'm looking at an alternate line. Braves over 5.5 runs. That plus 140 price.
Oh, sign me up.
There you go. Braves on the run line as well would correlate with that plus 120. Not only do the Braves mash lefties, as you pointed out, with all even without Acuna, they got Ozuna, Contreras, Riley, Duvall, Darnold, Swanson. They got a lot of big bats against left-handed pitching. Kyle Wright's a really good starter for them. He's got a 3.34 Sierra this season, 52% ground ball rate, striking out nearly 27% of the batters that he faces. So I think the pitching advantage and a massive lineup advantage tonight has the Braves scoring at least six runs and winning by at least two. To the AL East, Blue Jays hosting the Red Sox. Good pitching matchup between Alek Manoah and Nick Pivetta. Any plays in this one?
Yeah, I'm going Blue Jays on the run line in the first five. Manoah, I think, and I'm sure you as well. Man, can you imagine, Tyler, how intimidating it must be as a batter looking down and seeing him on that rubber at 6'6", 260? Right? Like intimidating. And he's been an absolute beast all season. He averages 8 strikeouts per 9 innings pitched. His walk rate is only 5%. I actually looked into playing his under walks, but it's a little bit too much juice for me, right? Like, hey, I make a good earning, but minus 195 is a little bit too much for me.
So,
you know, but hey, listen, if you don't mind a minus 195 play, man, I love the under 1.5 walks. He's just been – he limits hard hits. Like, the list goes on and on. He's just so damn good. I think he's going to help this Blue Jays team be up after the first five. So, again, I'm going Toronto Blue Jays first five on the run line. That's how I'm playing this, again, just because I think Manoah is just an absolute beast.
Yeah, I'm with you. He has been awesome this year, certainly the ace – of that Toronto staff in the Cy Young conversation. Doesn't overpower with strikeouts, but like you said, limits hard contact and goes deep into games and doesn't give up runs. Under 8.5 would be the way I'd play this. Nick Pivetta is kind of falling back a little bit to earth, but I think with Manoah kind of leading the way, I think we get a decent pitching matchup here. So maybe a 5-3 game, a 4-3 game, something like that. 8.5 just seems a little too high given the quality of pitching on the mound. A little worried about Pivetta against that Blue Jay offense that seems to be waking up here a little bit, but they still haven't quite been as prolific or robust as we thought they would be this season. But bottom line, I think 8.5 is just a skosh too high. I will play under there and hope that we see 8 runs in this game. Final one to look at, or not final one, we can dive deeper into the MLB slate, but one interesting matchup today is the Rockies hosting the Dodgers, and the Rocks have taken the first two games of this series. They shut out the Dodgers behind Chad Kuhl in game one, and then they rough up Clayton Kershaw last night. It's Julio Urias on the bump for the Dodgers, who are, again, are a big favorite against the Rockies. But again, Colorado's won each of the first two. Anything interest you in this matchup?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. As we know, the Colorado Rockies, not a great team, but they have a knack of beating up teams in their division in the National League West, right? They're 5-0 against the spread and straight up at home against the Dodgers, which is really, really unbelievable. But I'm going over here. I'm going over 11 runs. Wouldn't be surprised that by the time the first pitch, I wouldn't, you know, even if it's at 11.5, I would still take the over. When these two teams go up against each other, they average 10 runs when they play. And Colorado has Marquise on the bump for them tonight. He's 4-5 with a 5.58 ERA, but he's even worse at home with a 6.70 ERA. And as we know, it's I think the Dodgers go to town here. So, but again, Colorado has this uncanny knack of beating teams in their own division. So I'm staying away from the run line or the money line, but I do believe there's going to be a lot of batting action and runs that are going to be scored tonight. So I'm going to go over runs in the Dodgers Colorado game.
Yeah, I like the Rockies on the run line here. And as the underdog, they're getting 1.5, and you still get great value on that +110. They've won the first two games of the series. As you pointed out there, they've been great against the Dodgers this season. Urias is a really good pitcher, but he's a lefty, and the Rockies especially rake against lefties at home. We just saw it against Clayton Kershaw, one of the best lefties to ever do it. So I think you're getting really good value on the Rockies here in the underdog role because the market is expecting the Dodgers to bounce back. There's an average pitcher on the bump for the Rockies. You also, I think, are getting good value on the Rockies here because I'm not sure the market is completely accounting for the fact that Mookie Betts is out of the lineup, and that really neuters this lineup a little bit. They're not as productive as they've been in recent years against right-handed pitching, just as a whole. And without Mookie Betts in there, who's, you know, their best player, it hasn't been nearly as formidable a lineup as we are used to with the Dodger name. So I think the market is accounting for what people's expectation is of the Dodgers, which doesn't quite match reality here in 2022. So again, Rockies plus 1.5 is +110. Against the Dodgers, any type of Rockies win or a loss by one run, and you're cashing that plus money bet. I really like that one here, given what the Rockies have done all year long against lefties at home this season. Looking around the rest of the MLB slate, anything else in terms of plays or props that stand out?
Yeah, your guy, Ohtani, he's going to be pitching for the Angels tonight. They're at home against the White Sox. And as we know, he's just been dealing this season, right? He's 6-4 with a 2.90 ERA. He's got 90 strikeouts on the season. His strikeout rate is 33%. As we know, he limits walks. He averages about 12 strikeouts per 9 innings. And the White Sox, they have not lived up to expectation this season. They had 12 strikeouts alone last night, 20 since they arrived in LA. So I'm going Ohtani over 6.5 strikeouts today at -110.
Yeah, I have a couple of props as well. One is a pitcher prop, so I'll go there. Sandy Alcantara, who is the starter for the Miami Marlins against the St. Louis Cardinals, a team that he came up with before being traded to Miami, to record over 19.5 outs at -135 against the Cardinals in St. Louis. So 19.5 outs to get over to cash with 20, that would be 6 2/3 innings. He's got to go at least 6 2/3 against this Cardinals team that is looking for a sweep. Alcantara has 9 consecutive starts of at least 7 innings pitched. So that's 21 outs recorded. 9 consecutive starts of 21 outs recorded. So I like this. I think it's a banger. The one other time that he saw the Cardinals this year, it was down in Miami. He went 8 shutout innings, allowed just 5 base runners, and struck out 6. So Alcantara is right there in the NL Cy Young Award discussion for good reason. Dude has been an absolute machine in terms of churning out innings, leads Major League Baseball in that department. So I love him to go at least 6 2/3, if not get through 7 innings like he has in 9 consecutive starts. The other play I want to throw at you is a long ball, long shot. It's Wilson Contreras at home for the Cubs against Hunter Green and the Reds. If you watched Daily Wager yesterday, I gave a list of my top 5 pitchers to fade this season, and Hunter Green was on there because he is leading Major League Baseball in a stat category you do not want to, which is most home runs allowed. He's given up 20 taters this season. 13 of them, Anita, have come against right-handed hitters who are slugging just a shade under 600 against him. Green's really, really good. He throws 100. I think he's going to be really great in Major League Baseball, but in his rookie year, he is still kind of adjusting to how good big league hitters are. So Wilson Contreras at plus 350, a long ball, long shot to go with Sandy Alcantara over 19.5 outs recorded against the Cardinals as a couple of my favorite props on the diamond today. All right, finally, let's move to the greens, the fairways and greens of the John Deere Classic. A pretty light field compared to recent events that we have seen. Your favorite is Adam Hadwin, the Canadian. So not a lot of big names, not a lot of cachet with this event, but still certainly an opportunity to gain some leverage maybe on the books or exploit opportunity and exploit knowledge of golfers and the golf course here against the rest of the field. What do you like? What plays might you be making for the John Deere Classic that tees off tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, listen, a big reason why we don't have a lot of big names here is because of the LIV tournament. And they have their second event that's taking place in Portland this week. So just keep that in mind. But I'm going with Cam Davis, 40-1, Tyler. I know it's a long shot, but why the heck not? He looked good last week at the Travelers. Short courses is his wheelhouse. He's second in birdies or better on courses that are this short. He's great at putting on bent grass, 17th on tour, in third in the field, and strokes gained on approach. So I'm going with Cam Davis. Why not? Top 5, Patrick Rogers. He pulled out of the Travelers last week specifically to prepare for this tournament. The last 10 winners here ranked in the top 30 in driving distance and driving accuracy. He falls in that category, as well as top 35 in greens and regulation, and he's tied for 26. I'm going with Charles Howell III to finish in the top 10. He loves this tournament. 8 top 25 finishes, 2 top 6, and again, with a weak field, I think he's got a great opportunity to dominate. Top 20, give me Nick Hardy. He was tied for 14th at the U.S. Open. Top 10 last week, so he's coming in with his game on point. This is his home state. He's originally from Illinois, so he feels comfortable here. And top 15 in scoring on short courses. So Nick Hardy to finish in the top 20. And last but not least, give me Buckley to finish in the top 40. He's 14th off the tee, which again, it combines driving accuracy and driving distance. And he's tied for 31st in greens and regulation. So again, with those metrics being the two most important metrics, and the fact that there's not a lot of, this is a very lackluster, star-studded field, I think Buckley to finish in the top 40 is good money.
Yeah, I have a lot of similar names that I won on my betting card and in my daily fantasy lineup. I don't have a wager for Cam Davis, the Aussie, but he is in my daily fantasy lineup. I'll start with Adam Hadwin at plus 120 to be the top Canadian when all is said and done. He's the favorite in the field. I don't love the price of betting someone like Adam Hadwin. It's uncomfortable betting him as a favorite, but at plus 120 to be the top Canadian when he is by far the best Canadian in the field and the favorite in the tournament, I think that's a pretty good value. Got to go back. John Deere Classic, Zach Johnson, ZJ's in the field. Anita, you got to bet him, okay? This guy has done nothing but dominate at this event and this course. Top 40, plus 130 for a guy who has – made the cut here 13 straight years in a row. Okay, he's won this event. He's finished inside the top 10 about 7 or 8 times in that time. I don't care what form ZJ is in. This is a horse for the course as much as there is any horse for any course in all of the golfing world. So I was shocked to see that price, even though he's not in great form. ZJ has done nothing but make cuts here and play well at the John Deere Classic. And then I do have a Nick Hardy play as well. He'll be in my daily fantasy lineup. And I like Nick Hardy at 50-1 to be the first round leader. I think he can win the tournament. As you mentioned, he played golf at Illinois, had some sponsors exemptions, I believe, while in college to play in this event. Very familiar with the course. Hardy is playing tremendous golf right now, as you pointed out, in really good form. And at 50-1 to lead after the first round, he has fired sub-70 rounds, including one round of 64 in each of his last four first rounds that he's participated. So he's been really good lately all around, but especially on Thursday. So I like Nick Hardy 50-1 to be a first round leader as a nice little big money dart throw there. So that's a look at the John Deere Classic. Again, the LIV Tour is something that is going on this weekend. First time we'll see them in America at Portland. So interesting to see how those two tours compete head to head this week, both events taking place here on United States soil. That'll do it for the Wednesday edition of the Daily Wager podcast. We got our normal time and time slot channel slot on ESPN2, 6 Eastern today for Daily Wager. We'll, of course, go deep into those games we discussed in Big League Baseball, the PGA Tour, and a lot of NFL as well, because you can never talk enough NFL. I'll have another list coming out, a wide receiver list of my top 5 wide receiver season-long plays, and we'll kind of do a deep dive into some big names for the Washington Commanders and preview their season. So if you want to catch that, see that, 6 Eastern, ESPN2 is how you can do so. But that'll do it for the Wednesday edition of the Daily Wager podcast. We appreciate you dropping by. Make sure to do us a favor and rate, review, and subscribe if you have not already done so. She's Anita Marks. I'm Tyler Fulgham. We'll see you back here tomorrow on the Daily Wager podcast.